Wiggly World 110.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't fear, ladies and gentlemen. Ignorance and insanity are alive and well in the United States of America. Praise be to the morons and, of course, Christ Almighty as well. And he that's a fool shall burn in hell fire, which is pretty close. Moron comes from that, that passage there. What a way to begin a day. What a way to begin a day. Huh, look at these newspapers. 7:30 a.m., the new PaulaWhite.org is online. And this all play, you know, nothing can stir Wig and push Wig, well, Wiggly World, by the way, to get in front of the mic. It's now 1 p.m., but this started at 7:30 a.m. Nothing can push me to bulldoze the piles and piles of work before me out of the way, like channel surfing at 7:30 a.m. to the Bible Belt Network studios productions of the Trinity Broadcast Network, and then delivered right into the world of reality with Tampa, Florida last night, town hall meeting, police called to break up fist fights and shoving matches, Texas Democrat was shouted down by right-wing hecklers, many of whom admitted they didn't even live in that district, North Carolina representative announced he wouldn't be holding any town meetings after his office began receiving death threats. Now our representatives are being terrorized by the American terrorists, the moron tabernacle choir, evidently. And in Maryland, protesters hung a Democratic congressman in effigy to oppose health care reform. Health care reform. I don't know how your health care is, but trying to stop any reform of this broken mess that it is right now. I haven't had health care for the past six fucunta years. But let's not jump ahead into the insanity. Why blow my collective anger load right in the first 3 minutes of a new Wiggly World? A new Wiggly World. It's always a delight to be here in your ear holes. I am. For my electronic impulses in the old noodle, from my brain case to yours via a series of vibrations and conversions back and forth from electricity to sound waves and vibrations, and then back into electricity and then vibrating your bungholio earballs, and then translated back from your ear bones, vibrating, stimulating those into electrical impulses back into your bone case, right into the old spaghetti. The new PaulaWhite.org. You know, I was, like I said, channel surfing at 7:30 a.m. On this day, I was aroused by a loud thud of some sort. I can't remember the exact line from Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex, but We're Afraid to Ask. Does anybody watch Woody Allen anymore? I mean, I guess we're just all so soured about the fact that he wanted to date his adopted child. I don't know why that would put anybody off, you know. But I think that just really tainted the how he resonated with the youth. You know, when you were a youth, there was some point that you might have been exposed to, well, at my age, it might have been Beatles. Probably most of my listeners, there was probably a Led Zepp phase that you might have gone through, where you're exposed to that and you cling on to that. And the same goes for Woody Allen. I think there was a time in your life where you were exposed to maybe one Woody Allen flick, and then you were like, I need to see every single Woody Allen flick, even the ones that just drone on and on and on and on, and this is supposed to be entertaining and educational and things like that, but a lot of, so much great material goes in, you know, went into a lot of the early Woody Allen films. And especially, you know, none so silly as, quite as silly as Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask. And this was a star-studded movie. Now, how I'm talking about this, I have no idea. I guess because I want to have sex with Paula White, I guess, .org on Twitter, and her Twitter. But make sure that you go to Paula _White on her Twitter. You know, because God tweets, evidently. Jesus told her in a dream, tweet across America. And, yeah, I'm jumping all around. But Everything You Always Want to Know About Sex But We're Afraid Of, there's one part when he's talking to, he's doing his chastity belt rhyme. And you can tell that this was just off the cuff. He's delivering a lot of lines post. He's looping it. And when they say cheers, he says, and aerobic, as in Sears and aerobic. You know, I love to add aerobic onto Sears myself because, you know, nobody knows what. I mean, it's my thing, I think, is Kodak Eastman. You know, nobody knows what this is. Barely enough people even know what Kodak is. Film, what do you mean? And, you know, cameras. I know Kodak still makes cameras, and they're still very prominent. They're in most stores, but it's sort of like, I consider Kodak to cameras what pop-up ads are on websites. We don't even see them anymore, so I don't think it's really, you know, ingrained in the youth of today. So my favorite thing, to, of course, to bring up Kodak Eastman, and I could just, but the Woody Allen bit, you could just see he's got like a stick microphone, and he's watching his film post, and he's like, when they say cheers, he's like, you know, I'm gonna spice this up, aerobic, and he's just sort of like has the mic halfway between his mouth and like waving around like a nut that he probably was when he's all nervous doing his things. But a lot of great stuff came out of Woody Allen, no doubt. So many. Bananas, one of my favorite. And we'll talk about Bananas today. Not really, but it'll be mentioned. This is not the first time you'll hear the word bananas on this episode of A Wiggle Earl. And thanks for joining me, everybody. Paul, I'm all wound up, you know. This coming to fisticuffs with ignorance is just, this is a type of thing. We're at another insane junction in American history with this healthcare business. And, you know, this is something the rest of the world doesn't understand. Especially with a lot of episodes of Wiggly World, you know, a lot of people from Australia, a lot of people from the UK are like, oh, who cares about people believing in Jesus and all this other stuff? And it's because they don't live in the United States of America, where this insanity goes to the extremes. And we're not talking about, you know, crazy cultists that are allowing their kid, they're murdering their children, you know, just like God did when he flooded the earth and descended the plague upon the firstborn. You know, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, oi, they're getting schmetzy in there and everything. But instead of just killing Pharaoh, maybe how about that? Killing all the guards guarding the doors. No, let's kill the babies. This is God logic, alive and well. Not letting people talk. Coming to fisticuffs, death threats for healthcare reform, as if our healthcare is fantastic. You know, like, oh, I don't want to lose this great healthcare I have now. It's insanity. And, you know, I'm not picking any sides here. I'm just saying this is a fucked up thing to be wanting to kill people. This is just ignorance festering and having a focal point, as in, this is why we're really mad. And I was doing that all in air quotes. You know, this is something else that is expressing itself through this vehicle because they think it can resonate on a global level. Although this is just your pure, unadulterated prejudice, ignorance, moronic, you know, stupidity, and every other foul venom I could tag on to this that is coming through. This is not intelligent people going in and expressing good ideas about this, that, or another. This is just a plain old... This is like shoving everything ignorant you can in some type of cake decorating mechanism. Have it come out like Play-Doh. Focused on the cake of healthcare reform. Let's get back to that sexy Paula White. I was flipping around and flopping the channels, like I said, at around 7:45 a.m. And Paul and I flipped past this thing and say, "Who's that lizard?" I have a thing for lizard looking ladies. I have a thing for you know, women with a horse mouth and animal feature. As long as, I guess it's okay that I like women that look like animals. As long as I don't like animals that look like women, I think I'm okay. As long, you know, it doesn't go that way. But her hair was styled in a way to look flat and simple now. Pardon me, with the burps. Natural makeup. She was all like toned down, and I didn't recognize it as Paula White. I just saw, oh, hey man, sexy white trash lizard lady. I'm flipping back. I go back and sure enough, you know, it's this lady talking about visions and things like that. I knew immediately Paula White. And I was like, wow, you know, she's really switched things up. And indeed, the new PaulaWhite.org is designed to for the future. It no longer looks like a kid did it, you know, back in 1986 with animated GIFs of a rainbow changing colors. I know that it's got to exist out there because, you know, there's so many animated GIFs used to be on everyone's website. And it was so gaudy and, you know, there was no cascading style sheets or anything like this. And, you know, the best you could do was tables. A lot of people were using, not forms, but what do you call it? Frames and everything. And there's got to be out there somebody that did like a picture of Jesus with the dripping blood GIF happening on his forehead or something. I know it still has to be out there on the internet. And I know the listeners of A Wiggly World are up to the task of finding that for a free. You know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give away one free new We Talk Games Pro shirts. These Pro shirts are not even available yet. We haven't really discussed them even too much. I'll be talking about them more in the next We Talk Games. But the Pro shirts are coming. Our first screen printed black and white on indigo professional screen printed shirts. And it's done in the artwork of that Thaddeus did for us of Stinky and TT. And it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous shirt. I should have them next week, I think, just in time for the launch of We Talk Game 6. And I'm going to give away one of those. Now, I know that who's ever first will get bragging rights, but if more than one person sends in the picture of Jesus with the animated GIF of his blood dripping down, I will you know, do the old TT Schmootkin's electronic picking mechanism device, and I'll send you out a free shirt. Because why not give away all my shirts so that I never ever can make money with anything I do ever? to the gorgeous Paula White. And that's twitter.com/Paula_White. Now, if you just subscribe to twitter.com/Paula White, you'll get a much more interesting person, probably. This lady that's all into the Apple way of life. She's really cool. She's really up on technology. And I even got a link to a great video about, you know, the social, about using computers in school and how you're banned from using all this immersive technology that is the future of humanity. It's definitely the present of humanity now, but it is definitely a way that our social interaction is evolving, and it is a part of everyday human life, and yet it is banned by the school in general because they consider it a time waster instead of trying to figure out how to harness this and use it and implement it in education. We're still at the early point of, I don't understand, rocks, bang! And that's where we're at now. Paula White, as she states, God works on Plan B, says Paula White. And she's as gorgeous as ever. She's looking naughty, man. She was looking naughty in the AM. Her guest was Dr. Pierce. Dr. Pierce, and I shit thee not when I tell you exactly what Dr. Pierce's message was. Dr. Pierce had a vision, and once again, I tuned in at quarter of, so they only have 15 minutes to get all their shills in, you know, bring it on home with the send me cash, that type of thing. Sign up for my Paula White Life, help you feel better. She helped me feel better, I'll tell you that. Paula White's cure for morning wood, right there. Rubbing one out for the Lord. Oh, it's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. Dr. Pierce had a vision. Jesus took him on a flyby of the entire United States and showed him on a state-by-state basis. Him and Jesus flying over the United States. Jesus is showing him on a state-by-state basis the states that were aligned with God. Can you imagine that? I think you know what this looked like if you watched the election, any elections on CNN or any other news network. You know exactly what this looks like. It looks like Jesus shows... First of all, Jesus is in the States, okay? Number one. I have this giant Bible under my desk here. I got to bring it on out, put it up in the light. I like to keep it hidden away in the dark recesses of ugliness where it belongs, next to the fuzz bunnies and things like this. But, you know, I have this giant Bible here. And, boy, do they waste their time talking about Israel and Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Nazareth and Ethiopia and, well, they don't necessarily mention Ethiopia, but they're very close, Egypt and all these Palestine. I mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned Palestine, but all these places mentioned in the Bible wasted thousands of pages. When Jesus really was in the United States, flying over it. Not only was he flying over it, but he's got the visual line representations denoting states, territories, you know, that are just totally ambiguous and man-created. I bet as he was doing a flyby, it probably had like a north, south, east, and west. Probably had a key down below, a legend to tell you the distances relating to miles or kilometers. I'm not sure what Dr. Pierce preferred. But... You know, they're lit up like red and blue to show you which states are aligned with Jesus. It's amazing that this is how God works. Dr. Pierce continues, since God made you out of the mud, he can make you into a beautiful pot for the future. With this dimmed down Paula White look, she looked like she was into the pot, and not necessarily the beautiful pot. Perhaps a little bit of the sticky, icky stinkweed right there. I mean, it is amazing. Paula White. Paula chimes in with the visions, and she says, "Hey, you know, I know when you're at a crossroads, and people came up to me and they were fortune telling to me that I would be at a crossroads and informing me my destiny, and they are just making up a whole new religion featuring the Christ figure as that point at the end of the pastry tube to spatter on that red and blue goodness, I guess. Paula White. Now I have to dredge out that Lothar and the Hand People album cover that I recast with myself and Paula White on the cover. I'm gonna end with Lothar and the Hand People again. I'm a criminal. Let's face it, I'm a criminal. But you can't say I didn't try to get their permission to use that. Definitely did, and definitely good to see Paula White. But what followed? What followed this was a civil service, a commercial by the author of Black Gulf Patriotism from the Inside Flap. Wake up, America! It seems like whenever you turn these days, the news is bad. Illegal immigrants are swarming over our borders. How much is wrong with that sentence? As if Chuck Norris was just native. He was born out of rock, right out of Mount Rushmore. You know what I mean? It's him. He was birthed out of the springs of Old Faithful. Back when the dinosaurs were roaming around, Chuck Norris lived here. Everyone's a fucking immigrant in America, you moron! Anyway, our nation and American families are crippled by debt. Well, there you go. Paying for certain things. Miracle water. Sprinkle on your bald male pattern baldness. We remain vulnerable to Islamist terrorist attacks, like all those Islamists that attended that town hall meeting and lit their electric congressman on fire in effigy. I'm not going to read any more about this book, but it's Chuck Norris and his wife, once again, pushing more for the Bible in schools. They're following the lead of the well-known Declaration of Independence signer, Benjamin Rush. Benjamin Rush, of course. I think he was thinking about Rush Limbaugh. Probably Googled Rush Limbaugh one day, and Benjamin Rush came up for some reason. And that's how he found out about it. Now, Benjamin Rush wasn't a bad guy. He was a devout Christian, no doubt about that. And, you know, I don't fault him for being a Presbyterian or anything else. You know what I mean? We're talking 1776 here. But to state boldly that one of our founding fathers, and as if to imply, our founding fathers, and it's not even an implication. He flat out says our founding fathers formed a Christian nation, and you know, here's Benjamin Rush that got in on that signing. But I'll tell you, Benjamin Rush spoke out against slavery. He was speaking out against his own good book, that's for sure. Or at least wasn't. Benjamin, listen. I don't want to get into the religious bickering, Christians and lions and Jewish people and, you know, Islam and all this Ravi Shankarists and things like this, Moonies. I don't want to get into this. This person's better than this. Everybody lives by what they feel is right. Everybody. The Bible is a book. And the Bible is full of a lot of really nasty shit. The Bible is also, as you are well aware, full of uplifting and enlightening passages, and that's what you usually hear. That's what you'll definitely hear from this guy, Chuck Norris. That's what you'll hear. A guy that kicks people in the teeth. Hey, God liked to knock people's teeth out as well. And you'll hear from Paula White. You know, Paula White is really bringing us some type of Buddhist naturist wholeness oneness type of thing, but using the power of the she's calling on the name of the Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ entity, you know, that thing that a lot of Christians today worship, that Jesus Christ idea, you know what I mean? They don't really read books about Jesus. I mean, they might read a few passages here and there. They've heard things, heard stuff, saw, you know, bumper stickers and billboards and bookmarks. I was carrying you, my son. That one. Wait, that's not Jesus. Here's Jesus. I was carrying you, my son. You know, that's good. The footprints in the sand. I like that Jesus. He's kind of cool. I'd love to have a Virgin Mary on my front porch in her little house. Like that. Love it. So, you know, here's Chuck Norris, of course, stating that our founding fathers, like Benjamin Rush, he doesn't bother to mention that the majority of our founding fathers were deists. You know, deists. Once again, I'm talking 1776 era. We're only getting into concepts. There's no substantiation behind genetics, behind the DNA strand. We don't understand where traits come from. We don't really understand genes very much. We certainly don't understand anything about DNA. And, you know, we don't understand. There's lots of different theories that are floating around. But none of this really reaching the colonies that I'm aware of. So most people are becoming deists just by the evidence of the absence of a god. Evidence of absence is not absence of evidence. Yeah, true, but Christ, it's been 2,000 years. Wouldn't you want to just, you know, like, drop a note on somebody or something, say, hey, I'm postponed a bit. You know, do something. You're almighty. Talk to everybody through a loudspeaker. You know, I mean, it's pretty self-evident how things go. We come out of this earth. We're not born into this earth. Like, the whole watchmaker argument, you know, that's kind of I don't know if that was around in 1776. I now have to look it up so I don't sound like a babbling moron. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. You can observe nature. The watchmaker argument is ridiculous on so many levels because you don't build from the, you know, look at something and we, you know, start taking gears and sticking them together and everything else. It blooms, fetuses, they all look alike to a certain point. Why? Why am I the same as a fish when it's only, you know, X amount of cells large? It all blooms, it buds like a flower. This stuff, it's amazing how this happens. We don't go to the Kmart and buy parts and our parents build us like a watch. It's not outside in stuff. It's inside, it's not even inside out stuff. It's not building it from the ground to the outside. It's everything happening at once, simultaneously erupting. You know, that's what nature is. And many of our founding fathers realize this. And, you know, you can get into the efficacies of founding fathers just by those two words, founding. Well, sure, they did found it, but they definitely weren't here first. There were indigenous people in the United States of America. And fathers, hey, man, they wouldn't have been there without the mothers. And not only that, they're all white dudes, and they were all dudes. They were all white. They were all dudes. So, right, you know, we have some problems. We have some points of contention already. But I don't want to dissuade that from the point. The point is that many of the founding fathers were deists. And that means that there might have been a God, but God didn't do anything to interfere with humans, and many of them were actually, you know, against the Bible. I mean, we left Europe. As if I you know, I'm from Czechoslovakian, Hungarian backgrounds and Lithuanian. So I didn't leave England. But many of the pilgrims and the Dutch and all these different people left just to get out from under the rule. Don't tell us what to do. We want to do our own thing. And many of the early settlers in this country were, Quakers, and Quakers took, you know, what every logical person does, what they thought made sense and was ethical, then that's what they tried, that's what they followed. And they were wide open to religions. You know, they didn't exclude any other religion, because there's a lot of religions, and I've talked about those numbers in past episodes, no doubt. But, you know, Chuck Norris and his wife, I mean, they're on the Trinity Broadcast Network, for cripe's sake. What the hell was I expecting? Black Belt Patriots, Black Gulf Patriot Burpsums. But he's basing his idea of we want to get the Bible taught back in school, because of Benjamin Rush. We're following his lead from 1789. Yeah, we're following up on that now. Yeah. Hey, why not, man? Why not? But they have Banana Man Kurt Cameron. See, I told you Banana was going to come. They've teamed up with Banana Man Kurt Cameron to save us from the wrath to come. That's the reason. Hey, you know what? We have this big celebrity in back of us, Benjamin Rush. Hey, did you know, though, speaking of the Constitution, which he didn't have any part to do with that, as far as I know, but did you know the original part that Thomas Jefferson had, the original wording that Thomas Jefferson had in the Constitution? All men are created equal and independent. From that equal creation, they derive rights inherent and inalienable. That was changed by Congress to all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, to make it more, you know, gaudy sounding. So that's I did not know that. That, you know, I learned something all the time. But you know, I know, I hope everybody knows that, you know, there's no hidden meaning here. There's no hidden intent here. Article 6, Section 3 of the nation's constitution: no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. And the First Amendment, of course: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right for people to peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So, a redress of grievances. You know, it's very clear that the early founding fathers wanted religion to have no part of the decision making. You know, we were going to base this on what we deem to be fair and right. The Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson wrote that the power of the government is derived from the governed. This means that, you know, there's no king that was preordained by God, no King George W. Bush that was elected picked by God to be our king. You know, it's done. No more divine authority. It is the people that will rule this nation. And that doesn't mean, of course, this also protects you to worship and believe in whatever you want, spaghetti monster or anything else. And this is a very good thing. It's just that we're not going to make laws based on, we're not going to make laws that are going to say, oh, you're a Christian, you get a get-out-of-jail-free card or anything like this. And it's definitely not founding the United States on any principles dealing with religion. 38, speaking back on this, teaching the Bible in schools as a biblical book, and Benjamin Rush did want, the Bible to be taught in schools, but, you know, that's your celebrity endorsement? The guy that no one heard of the founding father no one ever heard of. 38 United States have implemented the Teach Fantasy in School policy. And I don't know what states those are, but I don't really want to look into it. But I've already spent far too much time on this business. But it was followed by something I could only watch about 5 or 6 minutes. Followed by Jesse Duplantis, the Dusty Rhodes of the pulpit. You have got to see and hear this guy and what this guy is getting away with. First, let me tell you that, you know, this is an old, white as the driven snow fella, and white hair, white guy, white as the driven snow, talking like a 20-year-old black man from the 1800s. Nobody want to be dumb. This is actual reading verbatim from what he said. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. They watching how you live. They don't like Jesse. They don't like Jesus. This is a 2009 step and fetch it guy here. I wouldn't be surprised if he proposed to, I don't know, sunless tanning or something like that to happen. I don't say nothing. You have got to see this guy. How is this guy making money? Jesse Duplantis. And that's Duplantis. Let me look him up real quick. Oh yeah, he's a big moneymaker. He is a big moneymaker. JDM.org. The Jesse Duplantis Ministries. Right here it says in Internet Movie Database, he worked on Thingfish. I just made that up. Nashville, Tennessee. He'll be down there. God's greatest promise to his children. The faith walk continues. Now he's under an umbrella. Oh my gosh. Well, anyway. I didn't like that. So now I'm pretty far into the show, and I gotta tell you, the real reason, the only reason I really did this show was, of course, to sing the praises of Noel Malinowski. The other day I came home from work and there's two giant boxes on the porch and they're speakers off the trapdoor wish list. Now, two giant speakers. I mean, these are some nice Mackies that I've only had one speaker, front of house speaker, for a long time now. My one blew, and through a series of events, we could never get it fixed. This Mackie SRM350 V2 102 way compact SR loudspeaker, single speaker, two of them, both of them off my wish list on my porch. If I was a lady, I'd have to marry Noel. I mean, he's just making it impossible for me to ever be able to pay him back. I don't know if that's a goal or what it is. I don't know the full reasons why, but thank you so much, Noel. I'm going to break them in at Young Lions Cup, the two shows in Easton. I'll be using them there to break them on in, see what we could get out of those things. And, you know, who knows? Live shows, they have to happen now. He's forced me in a corner to do what my true passion is and what I truly love. Thank you, Noel. This is amazing. Amazing. And what great sound is going to come out of these things. Because the only one working speaker that I have now is Behringer. And listen, I only recommend Behringer if you're just starting to get into things and you really, 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 really can't afford anything else. I like Behringer, but it's a very noisy system. So these Mackies are just going to make a world of difference. Although it's a little bit deceptive. I mean, I put these 350s V2s on the list because right now I'm only using a 300s, the Behringer 300s, because that stands for 300 watts, right? Not so with the Mackies. The 350s are actually like 136 watts or something like that. It doesn't matter though. The clarity, and I'll never push them to that limit probably. The clarity and the subwoofer that I have in line with this and the monitors that all preceded these. I mean, that Noel fella, he's really something. And he's so involved. I'm so thankful. I really, really have been enjoying the Wiggly World message boards, the Wiggly's World of Media message boards. If you're not a part of this bulletin board system, I'm sad about that because we're only at 80 people. We're at 81. We're only at 81 people. 81 great people, let me just say that. And it's even become a place where I see five or six people logging on Monday nights during Raw to use the mini chat to talk about Raw as they're watching it. And this is fantastic. And even myself, Rational Eyes, have been, you know, like at night, just having it open in the background, doing other things, and it bing bongs when a little text comes up in a mini chat. You can leave this open while you're doing other things and just, you know, shoot the poop about what's on television or what comes to your mind, or you just got the red ring of death on your 360 or whatever. So I'm very, very happy with. Yeah, it's bittersweet. This show, even We Talk Games, even Chikara Podcast Ago, they're doing good. They're doing good, but they're not allowing me to tell my tech job, I'm sorry, I can't come in anymore. If I didn't have my tech job, I would not be here. That's for sure. I'd be at that place down in Allentown that says work today, paid today. Jesse Duplantis, thank you. You're a piece of poo. And I love you and your dentures. Speaking of dentures, that's a great segue. I got a little bit of TNA, a little bit of other things, but I did have a hard, although I got riled up at 7:30 a.m., I had a hard time really bulldozing the stuff out of the way to cut a Wiggly World today. I have been working nonstop. No one likes to hear this, I'm sure. But it has been really, really wild. I am shocked by the amount of stuff I produce in a day. And it's kind of interesting. It's kind of neat. But I don't want to cry, so I'm not going to do that now. But today, you know, I there's a lot of stuff. I sort of wanted to have a little more substance to today's show, if I was going to indeed sit down and do it. And I have a couple letters I'm going to just read and I'll talk a tiny bit about TNA. But before I do that, I also, and I think I've said all I needed to say about the mobs that are being rat mobs. And you know, these are probably just tiny, tiny incidents, but I can see it escalating with the coverage that it's getting, the irresponsible coverage, I'm sure. Whatever. But today, today is the launch of G.I. Joe. I started out my morning, I got distracted a little bit, had something in my inbox from Fandango. G.I. Joe tickets $1 for the first 50 people that go and try to buy a ticket through Fandango. Of course, I forgot my Fandango password, so I had to wait a couple minutes to retrieve that. And by the time I got there, the $1 giveaway was far gone away. Gived away, as the kids might say. So I didn't get to see G.I. Joe, that great American cowboy with a little finger in their bunghole openings. Of course, that opens up today. G.I. Joe, let's totally destroy any fond memories we have of G.I. Joe. But that is actually the televised trailer, finger up your anus, your little finger up your anal hole, a bunch of CG cartoons jumping around over top of Kid Rock, specifically that stripper line where he says about long hair swinging around and the little finger up the anal passages. It's good for, you know, kids. G.I. Joe for the kids. Sell some toys. Play with your G.I. Joe toys while you diddle your bunghole. It's good stuff. But so, needless to say, I would only pay a dollar to sit through that type of flick. Who knows? Maybe I'll love it. But I'm definitely not going to spend $12 with a water. Just out of nowhere, a little clip here from freethought.mbdojo.com, Founding Fathers section here. It's quoted from Samuel 15:23. For rebellion, as in the sin of witchcraft, and what our Founding Fathers, the First Continental Congress, were Bible-believing, God-fearing, would they have rebelled against Europe if they believed that they were witches and practicing witchcraft? Yeah, because then they'd have to be stoned, no doubt about it. You know, check out Abraham Lincoln, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Thomas Paine, George Washington, quotations regarding religious beliefs from these founding fathers. No doubt that these are the big names in as far as founding father goes, except for probably maybe Thomas Paine, not as well known as the others, but to me he's definitely well known. I talked about Thomas Paine before. Amazing life and what he went through for his standing up for his rights, your rights, our rights, everyone's rights. Hey, TNA Wrestling, did you see this? TNA? Eric Young, Goldberg, he fuses the League of Unemployed Gentlemen with the Main Event Mafia in the newest TNA. And then he declares, let the cleansing begin. Let the cleansing... Didn't play well in the Borscht Belt, the cleansing monologue here. And they reiterate cleansing, cleansing, cleansing. This isn't very smart, but it definitely ties in with this religious talk, no doubt about it. Also, what do we have here? Criticize TNA for loving the cluster. So you criticize TNA for loving the cluster? What do? They turn half the show into nothing but cluster. Clear the locker room, boys. And even TNA says, both locker rooms are cleared. Call the cops, security, camera, everything. Oh, back outside. Wrestlers are using chairs like swords. Who uses swords? That's what I need to know. Why? What do you mean, like swords? You mean like chairs? Because they're hitting each other with chairs? Green Lantern, First Flight, saw it. Not bad. Pretty good. You know, why do I bring that up? Because Green Lantern, with his lantern ring, Hal Jordan, it's Hal Jordan, okay? Yes, this is... I don't know if I would have went this route doing Hal Jordan story, but, you know, let's pull it out of the comic altogether. It's more modernized. They didn't blow it by any means. It's Sinestro. You got the Lantern Corps. You got, you know, the Elders. You got everything happening. It's really cool. Very well done. It's the origins in there and everything, but it's modernized. But they didn't blow it. It's good, actually. But the one at one point... He needs to stop this bad guy. So what does he do? And it's an alien bad guy, by the way. He uses his ring, not as a giant punching glove, as a steel chair to hit the escaping squid man with. So that's what the tie-in is. Now, isn't it something that TNA continues to write the storyline of the ex-Fed guys and gals now are taking the place of the talent that built TNA? They continue to write this into the storyline and think that... what are they thinking? It's all true, and it's been going on for how many years now? It's ever since they've been on television, that's for sure. But Alicia Flash is there. Came to TNA as an unknown, did Alicia Flash. Alicia Flash, or whatever they call her. I guess you could call her Alicia Flash. Came to TNA as an unknown. And the show ends with a cluster as well. You have this. Repeat what you did halfway through the show at the end. And yeah, no sign of why I watched that show for the past 2 weeks. So let's hope. Who knows? I guess I could have checked into what was going on with Daphne and Don West. Yeah, you don't see this type of women's wrestling in any other federation ever in the world today. Not even Shimmer has women wrestling. Good stuff there. No. And that's TNA. And while we're appealing to the Bible Belt with the TNA wrestling, don't mess with Texas. The Texas State Board of Education is currently revising the social studies curriculum for Texas public schools, and efforts are underway by some religious conservatives to push for a curriculum that would portray the founding of the United States as having biblical motivations. That's the quote, biblical motivations. Stop by AmericanHumanist.org, sign a petition to keep Texas educational social studies curriculum. Have a bit of integrity. Speaking of integrity and speaking of gifts, Maddie P, cash in envelope. Thank you, man. Hey, Wiggly, it's Maddie P. It's been a long time since I've written to a Wiggly World. I gave you a size 14 font. I hope this helps you and doesn't screw you up. I've also printed this as I decided to use snail mail and send this along with the dollar bills that you hopefully got. They came in incredibly handy, the dollar bills. Thank you very much. Thank you, can't thank you enough. It's well deserved, and as I don't use PayPal, I feel this is a good way to get you at least a small portion of the cash that you deserve. I've listened to this particular podcast off and on for the last year and a half, and have really gotten into it lately. As you know, I've been following your work, beginning with that wrestling show for over 2.5 years. I always love it when I see new episodes downloading in my feed. My main problem is that I'm always backed up on episodes. I wanted to write in about the moon landing conspiracy theory show that I saw on the National Geographic channel, and I told you about. I agree with your theory that it would have been harder to fake the moon landing than it would have been actually do it. I think this particular show was a really good way at showing the most common arguments and then debunking them. And that's what you do. If someone's going to say an outrageous claim, if they make an outrageous claim like the moon landing was hoaxed, the ball isn't now in their court. They need to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that what they're saying is true. When they can't do that, they will say, well, look at this. This doesn't look right. And that's okay, too. But ask somebody that knows about... go outside and look at shadows on an uneven terrain. You know, try to understand how light refracts. Try to understand vision. Try to understand photography. You know what I mean? Get a little bit behind your claim, because none of the moon landing conspiracy concepts are necessarily laughable. The only thing that's laughable and insane is getting the answer to your question of why and then still asking the same question over and over again, you know? As if you just close your ears off. If you're truly passionate enough about finding out if something was a conspiracy, if something was a hoax or whatever, why aren't you as passionate about finding out the real answer? Evidently, you're not going for that answer. You're not going for the truth. You're going for the sensational idea and the concept and story and the, you know, everyone's against us and them and they. I think this particular... I didn't, however, like how mainly it was what seemed to be a 70-year-old retired man that was coming up with all these myths. Unfortunately, that's where he was the catalyst for many of these things. Those two dudes. They really were, you know... And not only that, but many times... like, there's still people out there that believe in a flat earth. Try to find someone that will be willing to debate anything with you and appear on camera. They won't do it, you know? So sometimes this is all you have. I'll totally switch gears now to religion. That's good. I've been ping-pong balling around this entire show. I was born and raised Catholic, and throughout high school, I made money playing piano at masses. Although after listening to your shows and doing much research on my own, I have started a lot to doubt that there is a God or a heaven. I still believe that church is a good place to get values, and meet chicks, and pick up little boys. Okay, that was really unfair. I'm just still a little upset about what I read earlier today. So pardon me. I still believe that church is a good place to get values. Although what they preach about heaven and hell may not be real, I think that church has made me a better person. You know, listen, man, you can take good things out of it, and that's great, and I won't take that away from you. And let me just interject really quickly with something that you would think is incredibly not related. Chiz recently asked me, a coworker came up to her and said, my little girl, what was she, like in third or fourth grade or something like this, is very good in art, and... She comes home from school, and her mom will find these awards that she wins like every month, like at the bottom of her book bag and stuff like that. What about that? Oh, yeah, I get that all the time. She wins all these artistic awards. So her mom's worried, what cartoons should she watch and things like this to help expand her creativity? And it's like, you know what? It doesn't matter what cartoons she watches. You're not going to... People get things from anything. In fact, you know, it's sometimes a bad idea. Well, you can never know if it's any good, a bad or idea. But it's sometimes not such a great idea to expose them to things that are similar to what they do, because then it sort of like puts boundaries on. Might get the idea, well, this is where my boundary might be. But, I mean, you can be inspired by anything. I was just talking to Johnny Capcom completely off the record after an interview for We Talk Games, and you know, he's like, I was reading a letters page and then I got a whole story out of it, a letter in a comic about something sparked off his idea about something else and he ran with it. So it wasn't even the comic book that inspired her. It was a letter in the letters page where somebody mentioned one thing. Might not even have been the focus topic of that letter. That's what... So, I mean, you can get, you know, good things from these things. There's no doubt about it. I attend youth groups all through high school and have made many close friends. But since my questioning of faith, I have come to the conclusion that the church is a good place to get good values, although there are many things I don't agree with. Sex before marriage and the whole rules about homosexuality and abortion don't sit well with me, but I still think you can become a good person from church. Now, see, let's say that you went to church tomorrow and I was going to go into a bit about the Psalms, lovely songs in there, the lovely songs of the Psalms, the poetry. Where the heck am I? Oh, yeah, that's right. I wrote down a couple passages because that one goofball. Oh, boy. Jesse Duplantis, I forgot his name already, thankfully, was, of course, quoting from the Psalms. And so I wrote down a lot of nice Psalms passages. But let me just say, let's say tomorrow you're going to church and they say, the righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. This is Psalms 58:10. Psalms, if you don't know, it's about it's supposed to be by King David. And he's writing poetry to God. And most of the poetry is like a lot of the ancient verses of the Old Testament, where it's this type of poetry. It's a duality type of thing. I don't know the exact term for this type of poetry, but it's not like a rhyming poem. It's a poem where you say a phrase, God is great, and then you would say another phrase that means the same thing, God isn't too bad. Just say it a different way, say the same thing, say the same thing twice, different ways, and that's the type of poetry it is. And that's a horrible example. There's other parts of Psalms that follow the, and I don't know the name of this type of poetry either, but it's alphabetical, so you have, you go through like A, you know, it's like what people do with your name, and they say, courageous! Funky, and your name is CF or something. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense, but that's what it does. It does that type of poetry where you try to give a praise, and it goes through David. Pretty much, you got David, and you know, he's living in a lap of luxury. He's doing good by this time. He's king. We talked about different things that he did, which were kind of, you know, nutty, but and how he got the power and all this other. But you know, he's pretty much living in a lap of luxury. He says, oh, why me, why me? And I got my own problems, and people are mean sometimes, and, you know, God, you're great. Then you turn your back on everyone, and it's your fault that your people got captured by the Pharaoh. God, you did a lousy thing, and then goes back to praising God and blowing smoke up his butt. And then there's a lot of part in there about having sex and stuff, and then it goes back to, oh yeah, he's so excited by the love of God. That's one of the alphabetical passages. You know, I'm gonna squirt my love juice on the power of the holy God. It's amazing. I get an erection from God. It's so great. I love him, and I want to make love to him. That type of thing happens in there. It's weird. It's weird parts, but a lot of it has to do with dancing in the blood of his enemies. And that's good. You know, that's not good. It's good for this story. What if you go in there tomorrow and they say, yeah, and we gotta kill all the homosexuals because we have to stone them because it says so. If you lay with another man, and then you should be killed, or whatever it says in Leviticus exactly. I don't have the passage before me, but we all know how crazy that shit is with, you know, don't sleep with a lady, don't wear polyester. Let's say tomorrow you go in it and they say, hey, if you know someone wearing a leisure suit, we got to stone them. Now, would you do that? Probably not. But the Bible says that you have to do that. The Bible is the word of God. That's what the Bible says. If you want to go to a church, you got to do that, because that they base their church on that book. So you have to do that. You have to go murder people that are wearing polyester, because you shouldn't mix two types of garment. Anyone talks back to their parents, you got to kill them. Stone them. That's what it says in there. And you would be right to do it, because you don't want to be on the wrong side of God. And that's another thing with Psalms. I mean, it pretty much starts out, hey God, you know, I know I do a lot of wrong things, don't get mad at me. Like, God gets mad, like, you could anger God, and you do anger God. God can do anything, yet he gets pissed off and he flies off the handle a lot. That's why David's like, hey God, calm down a minute, don't get mad but God, I know you like to fly off the handle, but wait, I gotta tell you something, just don't get mad yet. And like that. Yeah, it's incredibly human. It's incredibly human. But you know, that's what I mean. The churches, you say here, the main point, I think, but they could tell you to do that. Why don't they tell you to do that? Because that doesn't really make a lot of sense. That's not the sentiment. That's not how you feel. You might get mad because you see someone in a leisure suit because you hate disco or whatever, but you're not going to throw stones and kill them, usually, and base your church around that. Because it's a bad idea. These commandments are based, these books, these laws, Leviticus laws, are built around what people thought the law should be. And then they put God into this thing as that. This is what God wants. What we want, you know? This is what we want. So I'm going to tell you, I want you to believe that. That's what God wants. God tells us to do a lot of really dumb things. Metaphorically or not, it doesn't matter. All right, a lot of call central station here today. It was almost a deal breaker. Call from my tech job. I had to restore a file, but I'm able to do it remotely here. And while that searches through the several zillion terabytes of data, there it goes. I might have to just jump back off momentarily and call them back and tell them that it's been restored. Anyway. Without me going on and on and on about that, let me just get back to Matty P's letter here. I'll never get through this. I find it hard to sit through Mass and always hear the little wiggly voice inside of me during the readings. The main point, I think, is you can become a good person because of church, even though 98% of what they say is BS. By the way, did you know that 79% of all statistics are made up? I loved the story you told of the church with the alarm. And that was, Noel chimed in with that as well. He said, with the loudspeakers, he said, you know, aim it at the church and give them a little bit of, give them a receipt for their bullhorns. Shove it up their bullhorns. Church with the alarm. Wouldn't God be watching over the church, and wouldn't he protect the church from any evil? Well, I mean, I'm sure every church takes those type of precautionary measures. It's just the fact that there's no need for a bullhorn on the outside of the church. Do a silent alarm. Do anything. But don't have to wake up the neighborhood because it keeps going off. Wouldn't God be... Well, yeah. Apparently not. I love the new boards, and I think that this is the beginning of a new great community being built. Freedom of speech, which I know you always wanted in your boards, has struck a chord with me, as recently I have basically been banned from a group, a community that I have been part of for the last 2.5 years with no explanation. And you are not alone. I receive emails on this constantly, and I mean, that's the main reason why I even bothered to start flapping my gums about the whole thing in the first place. I recently went into the stick cam with the name Patty M just to see how long it took to be banned. And surprisingly, the host didn't catch on for at least a half hour, then realized Patty M is probably Matty P. Real clever, I know. But that's another story for never. Thanks again for the help with the back catalog. I'm looking forward to listening to the opera, being a musician and singer. That's right, though they are the same. Myself, I love the thought of bringing music and wrestling together. The upcoming semester will be very busy for me, and believe me, the opera was, you know, that was completely something that I pushed for because I would have really had to because, you know, I was going to be the one that doing all the music and stuff. So I thought that was a really neat thing that we did. And it's a completely insane thing to try to do because, you know, it just takes on. It's not very good, but it was something. It was really something. Starting in September, I will be the musical director for my college's theater group. Fantastic. We will be doing Chicago. Oh, that's a lot of singing. As long as we can get the rights from the company, I am already very stressed as this is a big job. I'll tell you who did a fantastic job on music, and that would be Haley Jane. Haley Jane did a gimmick there with, along with Laser Man of Alice in Wonderland, a completely original play. Amazing. And I guess they're going to redo it and video and DVD and all this other stuff. So I'm very incredibly proud of her. She is really an amazing kid. I worry about her constantly as well because she's living in a barn now, I think. I am already very stressed as this is a big job. I look up to you, both music and podcasting. Cheap plug here. Check out MattyP763.podomatic.com. I did. I linked to it. If you just go to WigglysWorld.com and check out the supporters that have websites and things that they can link to are all linked to there then in there then, as well as Noel. Noel has a new blogging place that he's doing. Check that out. I try to update WigglysWorld.com at least once a week, put something new on there. So if you don't visit there, if it's not a regular stop, I completely understand. But I try to make it easy, breezy, and beautiful, and wiggly girl. It's primarily a sports talk show, yeah, I noticed. But we also go off into random tangents and such. There won't be much new stuff on the feed until the middle of September. When we begin again, oh, school, I can't wait because our numbers will hopefully start going back up and up and up. I mean, they're constantly rising, just not the big jumps that you get when school's in session. But I'll probably throw a few random things up and go and subscribe on iTunes. Go and subscribe on iTunes. I heard Chikara will be making another New England trip. Yep, in September. The show in Springfield is just about 20 minutes from my college, and I will be wearing one of my 2 SWF shirts proudly to present the good old days, that is. Hey, man. That's all me there, too, brother. Except for the name. Wrestling Review Show and artwork and everything else. Oh, and my backup's done. Let me contact him back. Wrap up this note. No time for you will pass. I think I'll stop rambling here again. What I donated to you is just a tiny fraction of what you actually deserve. Thanks, man. For all of this great entertainment that you have given me over the past 2.5 years, I look forward to many great shows and hope to write into Wiggly World more often, as I always have opinions, but never enough time to write them down. Take care and good luck in the coming months with all the changes going on in your household, with the wedding and such. Give my regards to Chizzy. Matty P, thanks, man. Thanks, Matty P. Thanks for everything. Also, on the gift wagon, thank you, Alex. Sent me the Ultimate History of Video Games by Stephen L. Kent. Right from the Klamath County Library in Klamath Falls, Oregon, this book comes from. I'm not sure if that's where Alex got it from, but it was a school book that they had in some type of school. I don't know what school it was from, but once again, thank you. I started ripping into it. It's perfect. It lines up completely with what I got going on in We Talk Games, and not only that, but it's just amazing when you go through a history book like that, and the majority of the names have been on our show. Want to be a part of that show, and that's amazing. Very, very good stuff. And wait till you hear, we have on this month's show, great guests, and next month, I don't like to talk about them before they're already in a can, but who is lined up and who has confirmed and is written in both of our calendars is a real globetrotter that really, let's just put it this way. The game that he helped bring to your console, you've played. And it was a big deal, and it was a big happening, and a big something or another. So that's enough of there. Don't want to go too far. Anthony. Hey there, Wig. I've been a longtime listener of Wiggly's World, SWF, We Talk Games, and as of late, the Magic Milkshake Machine. Just wanted to say thank you so much for everything you do. For your fans and listeners, we all really appreciate it. You've kept me company throughout many days and nights over the past few years, and for that I could never fully reciprocate. Oh, you're quite welcome. Keep up everything you're doing, as long as you can handle it, and if you're still passionate about it. There are a lot of people out there who are in a corner, and we're all rooting for you. In my corner, and all rooting for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thanks, Anthony. Thank you, pal. Kind. I'm doing my part. I print out all my emails now on the back of old throwaway paper that is supposed to be discarded of in a dump somewhere. And it has some company's name on the front, and I print on the other side. It's perfect. So I'm doing my own. You know, you could see some things that should have been implemented hundreds of years ago in the form of conservation. And just take a look at Walmart. Now, that's something you probably didn't expect to come out of my mouth. But they are now printing on both sides of your receipt. So your receipt, they just cut their entire paper receipt usage in half across the entire country, as long as their registers can do that type of thing, by printing now on both sides of the receipt. Now, who knows how much energy it took to put new registers in place or whatever had to be done for this to happen. I mean, that might have totally kiboshed the whole thing, but if you look at it that way, that's pretty amazing. A company as huge as that cut some waste thing that they do in half by just simply using the other side of you know, what they're already doing. So it's those type of innovations that are really pertinent and commendable, I think, even no matter what, how you fall politically on Walmart. And of course, as far as where you fall politically on Walmart, this all once again goes back to the whole thing, like the whole cruelty to animal things. Where are you going to draw the line? Where do you draw the line on what's cruel to animals? Are you going to not live in a city that displaced animals? Are you going to only live in a dwelling that you built that is in complete harmony with nature? Are you going to be a vegan? Are you going to, not have pets or whatever? Where are you going to draw the line with what you think it could constitute being cruel to animals? And the same would go for Walmart. Where are you going to draw the line? Maybe you think Walmart is a big evil empire. But where are you going to draw a line? You're going to say, you can't feed your family from working at Walmart. You can't be able to clothe your family because they have good prices on clothes or something like that. It's all relative, everybody. It's a sliding scale. It's all individual things that need to be dealt with on an individual level. And I hope that's what comes across in this show. Although I will flagrantly call out, challenge a book, and especially call out people, like we talked about in last episode, 0.0% tolerance, put up or shut up when it comes from, I don't think I did mention this on the last show. I mentioned this only on the blog. See, so much happens on the blog now. Now there's another not the blog, the message board. There's another thing that's going to be problematic. I already have the problem of, did I say that in reality or did I just think it in my mind and say it through on there? Now I'll have the problem of not knowing if I said something on an audio podcast or only on the message board. And I got to tell you, I really, the message board, 171 topics, 1,548 total posts. So they're moving. The boards are moving. They're moving at, I think, a respectable pace. I think it's all been good stuff. It's not been a lot of poop, not been a lot of pub lord. I hate everything you do. You can't do anything right. You are terrible, and you should quit. And so here I got pub lord, and I got people worried about pub lord. You know, oh, pub lord gave you a 1-star. I don't give a shit. I got Nolan Bushnell adding me to his spam filter so that anytime I email him, it doesn't get pushed to his spam. So it goes right through to him. He wants to be, call me monthly. He wants to be a part of the show. People that made, that you wouldn't be playing the games you played if it wasn't for the people that want to be a part of the We Talk Games gaming experience. We Talk Games. I mean, We Talk Games. I mean, I can only, I don't, I want it to be the first We Talk Games. You know what I mean? We can only think about other things that have succeeded, like 1UP.com and stuff like that. But they do their own thing. We do our own thing, too. We are eating our own power pellets. We yeah, I'm going to save for that. But in the Wiggly world, WWOM, the community, wigglesworld.org/boards or wigglesworld.com/boards, the thread for Wiggly World podcast-related items, blasphemy laws in Ireland, brought to us by Smokey Willis, I think, was the person that first said that. As far as we know, this is what's going on. Politicians in Ireland are attempting to bring about a new law banning the publication or utterance of blasphemy. Now, there's already blasphemy laws in place. Well, they're called something else. Maybe they are called blasphemy laws. I'm not sure. But there are like anti-inflammatory against religions and things like this laws in place already. You know, because Jesus, you had a divided Ireland for how many years? Based on nothing more than Protestant Catholic, you know, belief systems. But yeah, this blasphemy law, and there was a lot of discussion about it. And we also mentioned this in the United Nations was shooting for this, and they have some type of thing is I don't want to have to look all this. All I want to do is it's a fact. What I'm trying to get at here is my response was, I have no trouble with anti-blasphemy laws as long as I see it come right from the mouth of God. 0.0 tolerance in magic belief systems as law. As law. God comes down. He doesn't even come down. He's all powerful. He can just make it happen in everyone's head. Boom. Like that. It's over. He says, don't blaspheme, you know? That's all he has to do. Or it. Whatever you want to call thing. And that's all I was trying to get at. So that's that there. And now next. Is there anything? I think there's one more thing. Wiggly, how are you, man? I have a question or two. And I know you are the man answer. You can read this on Wiggly World if you like. But I fear it may go into tech talk. I care about tech talk. You touched a little on this on Wiggly World 108. Oh, geez, Sony, I should have emailed you outside of here. This is like time sensitive. But I had this email started already before I listened to Wiggly World 108. So I will continue with my original thoughts. Now, I do not know how to play an instrument or anything, but I have decided to write music. I can hold my own weight singing. But I am no Tony Orlando. Well, who is? I also have, except Tony Orlando. Hey, where'd they find him? At the crack of dawn. Yeah! 1970s Tony Orlando and dawn jokes. I wouldn't mind ending up there. That short one was cute. I also have did some mixing in the past with sound clips. I'm going to just read it like it is. He's that preacher. Joey Buttass Fuco or whatever. Tony Orlando. Sound clips. But never with no sound to start with. Ah. Yep, that's what I, you know, making something out of nothing is really cool with just sound generators. I got to really let myself go in experimentation on the Inorganic Mumbians album by just creating sounds. I want it to be a little bit more like wood, a little more like glass, a little more resonating. Now I want to be able to blow into the glass and wood combination with a little bit of, changing its consistency throughout. It was really neat. There's a sound design tool inside of Logic Studio that allows you to do such things like, oh, do you want this to be blown or plucked? Or, some other method. Do you want it to be made out of wood, glass, metal, plastic? And there's variants that you can make of each consistency. It's like it's based, it's visually based on sort of almost like drawing It's not. It's levers and a pad and a thing like this. But it's really, really neat. What is that called? Ah, yes. Sculpture, the modeling stuff. Here's something made out of steel. Now, if I change that to, like, nylon, now I can change it to wood and glass. And I can do a combination cross film and all different types of morphs that I can put on this to sustain modes, pod modes, time scales, pitches. I could change where the pickup would lay on the instrument, the strength, the groove, the frequencies, the everything, anything you could think of, and you can make all different types of interesting telecasters. And I could just fart around here forever, and that's what I did. You have your blown instruments. And, it's your basic synthesizer, but there's a lot of little neat nuances that you could implement in there, but I'm getting sidetracked. So here we go. sing. I am ready to challenge myself with something completely new, and what better way to express myself than music? Crazy, I know, but I will never know if I am the next Bach or Mozart if I never try. You never know if you have tomorrow. You never know if you have tomorrow. So it's best to try new things today. Ah, I gotcha. Yeah, you're right. You don't know. Knowing that you are a master musician, or at least an experienced one, as well as a tech guy, I thought you would be perfect for these questions. One, can you recommend any good software for beginners that I could use in putting together my musical projects? I'm currently on a PC platform, but if I take this more seriously, I may purchase some Appleware if you think it's better. For music production, no doubt about it. And I just talked to some guy that had been a Pro Tool disciple for the past, I don't know, since Pro Tools like came out. This guy's been Pro Tools, Pro Tools, Pro Tools. I've told him about Logic for like the past 4 years. And he really never paid it, no, never mind. Although he's seen what I could do, he's heard what I could do, he loved some of the bass sounds and things like that I got out of my Logic Studio. But recently, for some reason, he had to use it, and he is this convert that is just super crazy about Logic Audio. And you can get Logic Express for a less expensive price and probably do everything that you would need to do with that. Go into an Apple store, ask them about Logic Express, and there's no way that you cannot make music with Logic Express and a new Mac. There's just no way anyone can make music. It might not be good, but you can make music, and you can use existing loops, as I do. I use whatever it takes to make a good song. And combine that, as I do, with things that you play live, things that you create with virtual instruments and whatever. Go in an Apple Store, see what you can get. If you have to start out with GarageBand, you could do that as well. It's very simple to build a song in GarageBand. You don't have a lot of loops to start with. That's the only downside of that. But you could buy loop packs that are $100 a piece. If you want to stick with on the PC side, all I know is Acid, because I used to use a lot of Acid loops. I could convert Acid loops to work in my Logic Pro and things like that. But I don't know how good Acid is for creating synthesizing instruments and things like that. Maybe it does. I just don't know too much about the PC side of the house. But definitely, if you want to do some good things on a Mac, Logic Express and a Mac. You can get away with the laptops. I have the new MacBook Pro, $1,500. I don't know if I talked about that yet. I need to talk about it. I wouldn't have been able to do this show today without that, because I would have been spending the next 2 days converting files from yesterday's shoot. Instead, I did it before I was done with like the first half hour of the show. Do you know of any good musical programs that can replicate any instruments or sounds that I could use to put together tracks for from scratch? Do such programs exist that could give me guitar sounds at any note and pitch without ever actually physically playing and recording a note? Yes. Number one, let me just say that I played zero. My hands never left the keyboard for Inorganic Mumbian. So if you listen to that album, there's not one instrument I played live on there. Now, there's some loops that had live instruments and things like that on there. So, yes, don't consider that a cheat. I never touched anything, and yes, that can happen. Now, there are some expensive, dedicated programs that can do any guitar work that you could think of and do it very convincingly. Now, I don't know what I'm going to get here. Okay, so there's that. That's a 12-string, default settings, 12 strings using the EXS24 sampler that comes with Logic Audio. You know, a lot of it comes in the nuances of playing. I am playing this now just on my computer keyboard because my MIDI keyboard's a little out of reach. But I'm just typing that. I just typed that. And once again, that's just straight out of the box. Now, if I throw a little... ow! Holy Christ. Blew my earballs out. I don't know what I'm playing. I'm typing letters. I just tapped QWERTY. But, you know, you could throw different compressors, different types of amp simulation, and, of course, a different thing to start with other than a 12-string. That's a big, beefy a sound to begin with. But if I would have went with, I'm just noodling. Ballot, nylon, now, let's see. The answer is yes, okay. I'm trying to see what else we have here. Guitars, electric guitars. Let's try some of that. I don't know what I'm going to get either. Heavy metal guitar. Let's try that. Let's try to chunk it out here. The letter P. Letter U. And you can see, if you mess with this, if you play it on a real keyboard that has levels of velocity, go in here and... I have no idea what I was picking, you know. I didn't know if this would sound like a... whatever it could sound like. Here's a beatnik guitar, clean electric. Let's see what we got here. Oh, that sounds kind of nice. Yeah. So, I mean, you could work on that. You could work those sounds and make it all happen. That was straight out of the box. I'm doing it as I talk. That's what the dramatic pauses are about. So, yes, I do know that, and I do know that. What is the one piece of advice you would give a person that has never written music to get me started on this wonderful process? Advice? Pick up something and blow into it. Twang it, diddle it, lick it. I can't think of any other type of things that you do to instruments. Do that, and sound comes out. That's considered making something happen. Any help you could give would be appreciated. I do not know if much of your listening audience has these ambitions, but it would be helpful to hear some wisdom from the master. Yeah, the unsuccessful master. Thank you for your input. Look forward to my CD in 2 to never years. I will, Jasonia. Thanks, man. Well, good luck on that. And why not? That's fantastic. Let me take a quick look around the office to see. I think I missed some emails, but I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to get to them this episode because I'd like to wrap it up. And I have piles of editing to do here before me. No more letters. Let's start wrapping it up with just a few of my favorite psalms. My favorite psalms. Let's start with Psalms 58. What should I read from Revised Living New International or King James? Let's go with Revised. Revised talking about let's see here. I don't need to set this up. I was going to try to set it up, tell you what it's all about. It doesn't matter, really. You know, leading into this, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all earth. That's no problem. But then we get into 58:6. O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of the young lions. O Lord, let them vanish like water that runs away. Let the grass, like grass, let them be trotted down and wither. Let them be like the snail which dissolves into slime, like the untimely birth that never sees the sun. Now, this is talking about the wicked, but it's talking about people that were born wicked. It says here, we'll back it up, right to 58. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods? Do you judge the sons of men uprightly? Nay, in your hearts you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked go astray from the womb. From the womb the wicked go astray. They err from their birth, speaking lies. And that's who we're talking about here. I just love it. 58:6. Oh, God, break the teeth in their mouths. I mean, talking about kicking someone's teeth down their throat. Yikes! That's in the Bible, yeah! And this is not the only time that God performs his bare-knuckle dentistry. Psalms 3. Oh, Lord, how many are my foes? This is King David talking about, I'm the king. People want to kill me now because, first of all, I got here because I slaughtered people. But that's besides the point. I probably shouldn't have killed that family, but, the Lord. Oh, Lord, how many of my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O God, for thou dost smite all my enemies on the cheek. Thou dost break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Thy blessings be upon thy people. How come we don't talk about God knocking the teeth out of people when you hear the Psalms mentioned in churches and in sermons? And Psalms is an incredibly long chapter of the Bible. Let's of course, it all ties up with a big bang when David gets to look at all the people he's defeated, and he sings this great lullaby here. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down! Tear it down! Raise it to the ground, they cried. Raise, raise, tear it down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us. He who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Poop-poop-be-doo! No fooling, everybody. Happy shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks. It is a happy time whenever you can bounce a baby off some rocks. Let's not lie. Let's not lie. And then all of Psalms really wraps it up right around 150 here. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his exceeding greatness, praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with the lute and harp, bling, 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 praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the string and pipe, boing, boing, poot, toot. Praise him with the sounding cymbals, psh. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals, psh, psh. Praise him with more cymbals. I made that up. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boo, 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 we do. Wah, wah, shut up. Smash. All right. Hey, that's it. Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. because I wouldn't want to be a liar and a thief. I just want to be a thief. This is Lothar and the Hand People. I try to contact them, try to get permission to use their songs. They're probably all dead. Either that or they're still on a trip. And I know, I think they still exist, and I would love for them to contact me, get on a show or whatever. I'm going to leave you with another song by Lothar and the Hand People. This is a little track called Machines. This was their big hit. This was the breakout hit for them. I know that you've only probably ever heard of them on my show, considering the age of my audience, but I always liked Lothar and the Hand People, and I wish that I had more of their songs. I don't, because I only had it on vinyl. I do have it on vinyl, actually. I can listen to it on that, but it's kind of crackly and getting old. So last time, I think I played for you This Is It, which is an amazing song. They have a really, really neat history behind them. Five guys, of course, the Hand People, bumped into each other in a parking lot. They were all pulled together by Lothar, which was one of the first synthesizers. They diddled him. See? So he called them together to diddle. Lothar and the Hand People, the song is Machines. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Wiggly World. I'm Wiggly, Wiggly World.
Machines, they keep right on moving. Machines, a machine.